Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to be reading at verse 58. And if you would please stand with me, we'll do this. If you're unable to stand, just follow along with us as you are seated. But if you would, John 8, just two verses, verses 58 and 59. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." What was Jesus telling them? That he was God. "Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that has been done for our redemption. And Lord, though we do not understand why it had to be this way, we are thankful that you were willing to provide the way. Bless the morning service now as we look into thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The last song that we sang, "There is a fountain filled with blood." I love that third verse. "Redeeming love shall be my theme." Aren't you glad that we read from the Word of God that He's our Redeemer? And there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. The book of Isaiah says, "For all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, not in comparison with each other, but in comparison to a holy God, a pure God, a just God." For 4 weeks, we talked about the great I Am sayings found in the book of John. Interesting. Jesus, as compassionate as he was, created strife. He created even hatred. For when Jesus said, "I am God," they had to either believe that he was and follow him, or believe that he was a liar. I add one more, you could say that he was a lunatic. Was Jesus a lunatic? Was he a liar? Or was he indeed the Lord, the Christ, the coming Messiah? Was he the one that would be our Redeemer? We believe he was our Redeemer. And praise God for that. But there were those in his day that thought he was a fraud. And he angered them. In verse 59, we read that they took up stones to cast at him. They despised him. They rejected him. If you would, John chapter 6. Jesus has fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. You remember the story. We spoke on it a couple of months ago. He then gives a discourse about being the bread of life, for he says, "I am the bread of life." And notice there in verse 51, this thought. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is what? My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Is Jesus asking them to be cannibals and to literally eat his flesh? No. He's talking about their spiritual needs. See, we live today in a world that is spiritually in decay and starving. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, quoting from the Old Testament, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He is the Word. and he proceeded from God, and he came for one reason and one reason only, and that was to die for mankind. But notice in John 6, verse 67, a question that he asks of his disciples after the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, after the discourse, after people leave, he says in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12 disciples, he says, will ye also go away? Will you also leave? Charles H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of 150 some years ago, asked the question, why do people go away? And you say to yourself, well, would they have left for the same reasons we leave today? And the answer is yes. Whatever the reason for people leaving, it has never changed. It is still the fact people leave. And his response was eightfold. Eightfold. Let me give you these eight reasons he believed that people walk away. Number one, because the gospel is offensive. May I say this? Many people today want nothing to do with a church that preaches the word of God because they are offended. It goes against the grain. It goes against what they want to believe. It goes against the nature of man. Man who is a sinner. Man who is rebellious. And may I say this, just as Spurgeon lived in a rebellious society, we live today in a rebellious society. Number two, some leave Christ being terrified by persecution. They're not willing to pay the physical price that it might take to be a follower of Christ. We know that Paul wrote of Demas, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. My mother said, and if my mother said it, it has to be true. My mother said that Demas had seen what had happened to Paul. He saw the beatings that Paul endured. He had seen how his body was racked with pain from these beatings. And he did not want that to happen to him. And thus he said, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Number three, some forsake the true faith out of sheer flippancy. They could care less. I've known many people through the 40 plus years that I've worked here at the Covenant Baptist Church, and even before that when I was in Bible college and having grown up in this church, I've seen many people for no reason at all just simply stop coming to church. If you were to ask them, why aren't you coming? They'd say, oh, I don't know, got out of the habit. Something else came along. But sheer flippancy. Number four, Spurgeon says, multitudes are tempted aside by evil companions. It does matter who your friends are. Your friends will have an influence on you. You say, well, why can't we have an influence on those who are evil? We can. But oftentimes it's the other way around. The one bad apple makes the other apples what? Bad. You know, we need to realize who our friends are is important. And I know this, I have talked to enough people who at one time were married or one time were a part of our church and they got involved with the wrong people. And evil companions will lead us astray. Number five, Spurgeon says, many leave Christ for the sake of sensual enjoyments. That they are pulled in the direction of this sensual society in which we live, and even in the society that he lived in. And we find that we live in a society where everything has a sensual undertone. Be it so-called family sitcom TV programs to commercials on television or on the radio, there is a sensual undertone. We see it in the things that they wear, even in the Olympics. We see it in the attitude of those who are entertainers. There is a sensual undertone, and sometimes it's not an undertone, sometimes it's screaming right at us. Number six, many leave him on account of change of circumstances. Now, he didn't put what these changes were. I added some thoughts. What would make someone change or walk away from the church due to the circumstances? The first one, they've moved to a new location. I don't know how many people I've talked to that they have moved into an area, and it may be only like they used to live in Warren and now they live in Shelby. And you say, well, where are you going to church? And they say, well, I used to go to church down in Warren, but I moved. Well, what happened? Well, for a few weeks or a few months, they traveled down to Warren to the church they used to go. But then it was too far one Sunday and they said, you know, we're running late. Let's just stay home. And let's just stay home once became twice and three times. And the church down in Warren says, hey, are you coming back? And they said, yeah. And so they come back at one time, but then they slip away. New location, the change of a job or jobs change. And they stop going to church because, well, after all, money is more important. I was talking to the representative for the Gideons, the Bible group that puts Bibles in our motels. And the representative, he's an old-time Baptist, and he was talking about teaching the adult Sunday school class. And he told me he had taught the adult Sunday school class for over 40 years. So that means he's been around a while, right? And so one Sunday, he's in Sunday school class, and he says, I'm going to ask you a trick question. He said, none of you want to work Sundays, he said, because Sunday is what? It's the Lord's Day. And he said, nobody said anything, because he'd already warned him it was a trick question. And he said, I tell you what, you work Sunday. Whatever you earn, put it in the offering next week. He said, whatever you earn, put it in the offering. He said, within 2 or 3 weeks, he says, you won't be working Sundays anymore. I thought that was good. You know what I told him? I said, I'm going to use that one of these days. Now I can tell him I did. How about abortion? He said, what are you talking about? We had a girl, she was about 18. She got pregnant. Had been in church her whole life. I had known her about her whole life. She was about 18. Told her dad, she said, I'm pregnant. The dad said, as soon as she said she was pregnant, took out his wallet, handed her $300 and said, take care of it. He admitted to it. She never came back to church. She couldn't live with the guilt. Changes happen in our lives, and sometimes we can't deal with it, and we walk away from the church. A new mate. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, she's Baptist, he's Catholic. Where are they going to go to church? He's Methodist. She's Presbyterian. Or where are they going to go to church? She's Jewish and he's another faith. Where are they going to go to church? So what happens? You don't know how many times I've knocked on a door and invited someone to church and they said, well, you know, I'm this and he's that. And I said, well, where do you go? And they said, well, we're not going anywhere. And I say, well, how about going to the Baptist church then? That hasn't worked too well. A new mate, New boyfriend, new girlfriend. It takes people in a different way. How about children's activities? You know, there was a time. Do you know this? There was a time that if Halloween fell on a Wednesday night, that the schools would make sure that the people knew that they didn't do Halloween giving on Wednesday night. Did you know that? There was a time that the Utica schools would never have had a PTA meeting on a Wednesday night. They would never have had a graduation on a Sunday. But today, well, that's the only time we can have it. Do you believe that for a moment it's the only time they can have it? No, that is a lie. It's a lie. But kids' activities. Now they have to do soccer, or they have to do hockey. They have to do other things on Sunday. And so what happens? What happens is they give up church. They give up church. Many leave him on account of change of circumstances. We find he also said, some turn aside from Christ and his people out of sheer. What do you think that next word is? Starts with an L, has a Z in it. Laziness. How many people simply don't go to church out of laziness? Look, can I tell you a secret? Is it really that time already? Okay, I'll move along. I'm going to tell you my secret anyways. Do you know when the clock went off this morning, I hit the snooze alarm? I did. And when the clock went off the second time, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to hit it again. You say, Pastor Paul, what are you telling me? I didn't want to get up this morning. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear someone walking around our house. I'm thinking, uh-oh, this isn't good. And I reached over and found out the person I've slept in bed with for some 43 years wasn't in bed with me. You know how it is? You're wondering, what is she doing? You couldn't sleep? You were cleaning house 3 o'clock in the morning. You better not fall asleep this morning. You say there's some sunny mornings you get up and you say, oh man, I don't want to go to church today. And I understand that. But how about those people? They're not doing anything this morning. I mean, they might be reading the newspaper, or they might be cutting grass, or whatever. They don't have to be over at Kroger's right now. Sheer laziness. Jesus said to the disciples, will ye also go away? I tell you what, as a Baptist preacher, I get concerned when people begin to miss. I think, well, what's happening? What have I done wrong? He also said, unsound doctrine causes many to break faith or to backslide. Unsound doctrine. How about evolution? Evolution has broken the faith of many a person. Even though evolution takes more faith than to believe there is a divine deity who created us, they'll believe evolution. Humanism, secularism. Then there are those people who say, well, why are there so many different faiths? Why don't you believe the way, and they'll name a church in the area? Because some churches have unsound doctrine. I will add a ninth, complacency. We no longer see the need. We've lost the vision that people are dying and going to hell. There are some of us that are more concerned about the souls in Brazil or Thailand or in South Africa than we are about the souls that are here in this area of the state of Michigan. But then I have a tenth thought. They were never born again in the first place. This sermon germinated, don't you like that word? This sermon germinated from a conversation I had with my daughter-in-law, Erica, on Independence Day. I like it when the son comes over and does the grilling. I can sit around and play with the grandkids. You know how conversations meander? You do know how conversations meander, right? Don't you hate it when you want to say something about a certain conversation and the next thing you know, we've gone on to two other things and what you wanted to say, you can't say, and you think, oh, it was so good too. You're talking about jobs. You go to new houses. Our son Brian and his wife have bought a new house over in Brighton, which is going to make a big difference in the lives of grandparents over here in Sterling Heights. Then the conversation went on to packing. My daughter-in-law, Erica, is a minimalist. She doesn't like to put things away. She likes to throw things away. We'll ask our grandkids, do you still play with such and such toy? And they'll say, well, mommy put it away. What does it mean, mommy put it away? Mommy put it away, all right. And it was picked up last Thursday on garbage day. It led to new furniture, you know, a new house, new furniture. To the kids' bedrooms, the house they're moving into has a room that's already a girl's room and a room that's already a boy's room. And I asked, they said, are you going to put them in those rooms? And Brian says, I don't know, maybe we'll put the boys in the girls' room and just paint it. And I'm thinking, cool, the boys would like all their toys on those shelves. Built-in shelves, really look nice. So that it went on to vacation Bible school. And then it went on to invitations given at vacation Bible schools. And from there, I said, when your family began attending the Faith Baptist Church of Dearborn Heights, I said, I asked her about her conversion experience. I said, were you saved when your parents were converted? She said, I was 7 years old when we began attending the Faith Baptist Church. My sister Allison was four. She says, I'm a firstborn. I'm a people pleaser. And she said, I would do anything my parents asked. She said, I prayed a prayer. I was baptized. I attended Sunday school and church. She said, but at the age of 15, I realized I had never truly been saved. What are you saying, Erica? She goes, I went through the motions to please my parents. And I thought, that's scary. That's scary. See, she had not had the privilege of growing up in a Bible-believing church. She had gone to a church, but it wasn't a Baptist church. And this was all new to her. When she saw her parents' excitement, she wanted it also. And age seven, she went through the motions. I wonder sometimes how many of us have children who have gone simply through the motions but have never accepted Christ. I wonder how many people, maybe in this room right now, we went through the motions somewhere along the line, but we never truly opened our heart to Christ. Quickly, the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. We're going to be reading at verse 1 down through verse 8, the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other, thank God for the other, fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. This is a parable, and the disciples want to know what the parable means. And so in verse 18, he begins to describe the parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh what? The wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. There are hundreds and thousands of people who have heard the word, and they didn't know what it meant, and the evil one came by and snatched it away from them. Be careful that your attitude and actions don't aid the wicked one in turning your child from the Lord. Children see things different than parents, but they see how you react, to a sermon that was preached. Be careful on the way home what you have to say. Verses 20 and 21, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon, or at once, with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. For a while they're glad that they know the Lord. For a while they're glad they can go to church. But then they become offended because of the word. They perceive as tribulation or persecution comes that they can't deal with this. I've lost friends, or people don't want to be around me anymore. And so they stop serving the Lord. They have no root. They haven't been in the word of God. They haven't been under the teaching of the word of God. May I say this? My son Brian told me this the other day. He said one of the problems we have today in our churches is that we expect our kids to be taught in Sunday school, and that's it. Or they're taught in a junior church, and that's it. He said, as parents, your responsibility is to tell them Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. That's your job. It's not your job to bring them to church on Sunday so they can hear Sunday school only. It's the rest of the week also. And because they have no root, they quickly walk away when they feel persecuted. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Blessings can be a curse. We live in a society that feels entitled. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton both have played this card. Who's going to pay for all these things they're promising them? And it's always the rich people's fault, right? I mean, they're to blame. Well, the fact of the matter is, we have been deceived by riches. We believe that we are entitled to everything, and not that we have to wait for it, but we want it now. I remember when Don and I first got married, I sometimes look at the budget that I had for my first year of marriage and I think, how in the world did we survive? We didn't have anything new other than what we'd gotten for gifts for our wedding. We still have a lot of that stuff from our marriage. I wonder, Brother Jerry, do you think I could sell it at your shop? No? It's not old enough, right? Okay. I tried. I'd like to get it out of the house. The white elephant party. It's still usable, that old Merrimack. Is that what it's called? You use it.
Okay.
But do you think that when we were young, we realized it was going to be a while before we had everything? It was going to be a while before we had what my parents had or her parents had. Today, boy, you want to have it, and you want to have it right now, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to use my credit card. Is it any wonder the average American is some $15,000 in debt? The credit cards. I'm going to pick on a couple of people. I probably shouldn't do this, but I am. Bob Muehlhoff, would you say when your credit card comes in, you pay off your credit card? Every time, right? Every time. Now, this was not rehearsed. So he pays off his credit card every time. That means there's somebody that's $30,000 in debt. Right? Because this is the average, $15,000. My wife and I, we pay off our credit card every time. I'm not going to ask Dennis Smith if he pays off his credit card. He doesn't have one. He has cash, right? But I would dare say if you asked his wife, they pay off their credit card. Yeah. Why? Because you're paying off. And so there are people who are paying off their credit cards every time, and there are those who don't. And so we have people who are $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in debt. Why? Because I had to have it, and I had to have it now. The deceitfulness of riches. And so what happens? I've told you this before. If you're not right with your money, you're not going to be right with God. And you can write that down. Put it on your bulletin. Go home. Put it on Facebook. This is what Pastor Paul said. If you're not right with your money, you can't be right with God. God expects us to be right with our money. What's it say here? The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. And it draws people away from the church. What we're seeing today. Shall we stand together? Will you also go away? You say it will never happen. I can take you to people who said it would never happen. And they rarely darken the doors of the church today. I can take you to people who haven't been in church in years. What happened? Well, the evil one came along and said, there's better ways. Matthew tells us, by their fruits you shall know them. The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 4 says, and what that we should bring forth fruit unto God. How are we doing today? Shall we stand? We're already standing. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would touch what has been said. Not that we want to hurt anybody or humiliate anybody, but Lord, that we want people to get right with you. That we could be right examples to our families. That, Lord, we can be a testimony, bringing forth fruit. May the Spirit move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.